the Paranormal Gateway Spirit Talk. I'm your host, Scott Wise, and a very special guest tonight are Barbie, Tabitha, Buffy, Brendan from Nights on Paranormal. Nights on Paranormal, based in Nashville, Tennessee, is a steam team of paranormal researchers and investigators. Distinguished reputation was earned when they received a 2023 Alley Award for Paranormal Researchers of the Year from American Paranormal Press and Magazine. They specialize in investigating historical sites, businesses, and private residences, extending free services to those grappling with unexplained phenomena. Approaching each case with compassion and scientific rigor, Nights on Paranormal seeks to uncover truth, offers support to those affected by paranormal activity. Armed with cutting-edge equipment, meticulously collect scientific evidence to substantiate claims of supernatural. Additionally, they organize public hunting events and serve as resident paranormal experts at the renowned Buchanan Log House. Firm believers in collaboration, they champion peer unity by partnering with other teams and educating the community about complexities of the paranormal realm. So without further ado, let's welcome Nights on Paranormal to the show. How you doing, Artie?
Hey. Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Hey, Bet. So I always start off the same way. Everybody goes around the room, don't matter which way, they least first, the girls two first. Explain how you got interested in paranormal, what the experience you had, and would you like to share that experience with us?
So. Okay, sure. My first paranormal experience, it didn't actually happen to me. It happened in my family home when I was 6 years old. My family was pretty much traumatized by it, but it never bothered me. It happened around me, but not to me. And I thought, well, maybe something's wrong with me. And so later on in life, I actually had kind of chased for answers, not seriously. But then in 2016, I had my very first paranormal activity in the basement of Octagon Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. And that's what started it all for me to really jump in headfirst. So that's my story.
But what happened?
Well, it wasn't a touch. It wasn't a shadow. It was a feeling. From the top of my head to the very bottom of my feet, I couldn't move. I was pretty much just paralyzed there. And I just remember thinking, this isn't normal. This is definitely not normal. And I went down in the basement with every anticipation to have a paranormal experience. But at the time, I didn't realize that I actually had one until I did some research and figured out, yeah, you had a paranormal experience. And so I've been chasing it since. Yeah.
You always remember the first one.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go. Okay. When I was 7, we moved into a haunted house, a house that was haunted. It was already moved into by spirits. And so we had like a portal in our house, so we never knew who was going to come in or who we were going to see that day. So we had anywhere from shadows to, we had a little girl who lived there the whole time I did. And when I went back and talked to the people who lived there a couple years ago, she was still there. And then every house we moved into has had some type of paranormal experience. And so just from a young age, my mom told me, hey, it's okay, they're just communicating with you. And we took it and ran. And I've just been, since the age of 7, this is something I knew I was called to do.
Right. Buffy?
Mine, I always love that Tabitha and I, every time we end up going one after the other, because our both of us, it was close. I was around 8-9 years old. The house that I grew up in, my first experience that I can remember was playing outside with my next door neighbor, and I saw an apparition reaching to grab my next door neighbor's mother out in the yard, like reaching, he was like behind her, kind of like he was going to tap her, like, hey, you. there, and over years, there were a lot of experiences, both between my home and my neighbor's home. Things moving, just random events that would happen. So, and for me, it was a little different because I never really talked about it to anybody. I never really dwelled on it. It was just kind of something that was happening. I've never lived in a home that didn't have activity, just blatant activity. And then what really got me wanting to delve into truly investigating, Barbie and her mother came over to the house. I had texted her one day and I'm like, there's been a lot going on in the house. There has been a lot of activity. If you want to come over, we'll have pizza, hang out, and maybe see kind of what's going on in the house. And so they came over and we did kind of a mini investigation in the house. Ended up communicating for quite some time with a Native American spirit in this house that's very protective. They're not malicious. It seems like they're almost, because we love this house, they protect this, are protective of this house too. Part of that night too, we also had some interactions with what appeared to be my dad. And from that point on, it has been, you know, I'll go anywhere and everywhere to investigate from that point on.
Yeah, but I love that. Yeah.
So I guess I'll wrap it up with my experience was whenever I was 15 years old. A friend of mine were playing in the woods, doing what adolescent boys do, breaking sticks, you know, whatever. And we came across, I would say, 300 yards down in the woods, a foundation of what looked to be an old home at that point. Very old, just basically the rock foundation. And it was roughly dusk. And from there, you see a, I'd say, 5 to 6 foot, five and a half foot apparition. What seemed to be just a white flowy dress. I would assume it would be a female at that time. And it moved toward us, didn't make any noise, reached his hand out for us. We hightailed it out of the woods. And it wasn't until we were completely out of the woods back on the road that he told me what he saw without me saying anything. And that confirmed what I saw. So that was my first experience. That made me basically fall in love with it from there.
Well, I started off, I didn't have any experiences. I was younger in high school, and I used to get all kinds of books at a library. Different things. Well, have you ever read Hans Holst or all like that stuff? So, but other than that, when I got old enough and my kid was like 5 years old, I got to go out and do stuff. And I got with the team, and I was there for 15 years. And come on, 16, we can try to get out once or twice a year now. Just some more, well-known places, like the post-town school got there. With the Hinsdale House. I love that place, oh my God. I want to go back. But
a lot of people say that Hinsdale House is something else.
we stayed the whole weekend, and we got some weird noises in the woods that we picked up on the radio. I swear it sounds like a bunch of Bigfoot, my Bigfoot. And I don't know if I have to, I might play it for you later while I'll get a chance to. So, oh my God, it's just. But
I'd love to hear that.
I saw a lot of shadow play and shadow figures and stuff at the Fire Museum out here in Ohio. I originally lived in New York, PA, until like 8 years ago. And after that.
That's Chris. He's with Fearful Encounters. He's lead investigator. It's good to see you, buddy.
So, but Other than that, I got touched already on the leg, and we're at a place called the Hardman Mansion. That's in PA.
Anything that has a mansion, I sign up for it.
I don't even see it.
I was there. That was just three times. Yes. At least every time we land, they visit back my whole state we go. But I got one of my experiences there was I called it an audio EVP because, or I think that's what it's called. But there was two children ghosts there, Jacob and Hannah. And what happened was first thing I do, I put a recorder on. Even if I do a tour or set my base camp, I always have one on. And what I do is I take a recorder, and I have a baseball cap, and I have one of the lapel mics that could be on baseball brand. And I lock it into my pocket, so I don't hear any noise interference. But anyways, I ask, is Dick here or is Ham here too? And I hear, I picked up, but I feel going, it freaked me out. So towards the end of the show, if I have time, I'll show you some of my stuff.
Yeah, of course.
There's something from Chanel.
She's with Elite Vixens. She's one of their lead investigators. I love that. Para community, baby. Yeah.
Is Elite Vixens in that paranormal group?
They are.
Want to sign up for it? Want to come on show?
Hey. We have connections. Hey. I mean.
Always be promoting a show, baby. A show.
Yeah, gotta do it. I'm about to middle of age right now, but I always plan months out. I'll look at Peril TV on. So I'll get authors on too sometimes, and I had memes and such just on too already.
There's a good one that we can suggest. He's here in Tennessee, and he writes a lot of books. You've probably seen him. You might even be friends with him, but Alan Searcy. He does a lot of the haunted history of Tennessee.
I should write that down. And one of my other guests told me about him.
Mm-hmm. He's quite remarkable. Yeah, he's well known in the state.
I swear to guest, I can't remember who told me that, but I have written down somewhere. And I did look up some of his books, I think. But yeah, I'll have them all too. I can get a chance to read their books. I usually put them out like a month ahead, so I get a chance to read. Mm-hmm. I like reading books. So.
Oh, me too.
But yeah. So okay. That's not me. But you guys do investigations. Do you have certain protocols or rituals you do before and during investigation?
Yeah, we do. As a team, we always say, come protected, whether that's, you say a prayer, you wear crystals, holy water, rosaries, whatever. And then we always say St. Michael prayer. And then, just kind of help ground ourselves. So, that way we're not coming home with any hitchhikers or anything like that at the end of the night. And we also do that at the end of the night as well. We always say a prayer for the location, the spirits, thank them for their time and their wisdom, and that they cannot attach to us or any objects. And they got to stay there. Yep. The party's over. We're leaving, but you must stay.
I had somebody come back, but I think I have somebody here. Literally a girl. Because I did something stupid the last time I had the place. I had the EVP in my house. Don't ever do that.
Right.
Don't ever do that.
Don't ever do it. I always am tempted, but I'm like, no, no.
Don't do it. Because I had some. Can't soup fell off the table the other day, but it's not the.
Yeah.
I knew she was here, and I think she came to the last place out of that when we moved, but I don't I'm not going to say, hey, get out of here. And it was like, it's not bothering her.
Yeah. Well, but I always get made fun of because I like to hotbox my car with sage.
It's so bad.
I'm serious. I hotbox the car with sage.
Oh, God. So bad.
And then as I'm rolling down, you know, the street or whatever, away from like waving by and everything, and roll my window down, and it's just smoke is just barreling. It's like Cheech and Chong is like with
me. Yeah, it's during the comeback investigation. You're doing that all the way back to one the window. A cop behind you pulls you over.
Oh, every time. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to make a great story one time for my grandma. there was one night, you may have heard of this location, but it's the Harrison Funeral Home in Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And it's the one and only time where I had to hotbox my car a second time on my way home because something was coming home with me that night. That it was just crazy. But anyway, yeah, we always do all kinds of crazy rituals and then some of our very own when we leave.
That's the reason I drive by myself. I do not yet know.
Hey.
You've gone with me.
I'm in the car.
I had one time. I used the sage spray in my car. I had one time. I had to sage my vehicle before I even went inside the location. I parked. Yeah. I was waiting for everybody else to get there. And something was already banging around on my car. And I get out my sage spray and I'm already like, no. No, not today. You know, I'm like, we're not starting like this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, get back in the house. We'll be in there in a little while.
My only time, you know, there's places you let your guard down. Like Old South Pittsburgh, I'll let my guard down. And then I'll forget to do my prayer or I'll forget to do the closing prayer or whatever, you know. And the one time I did at Old South Pittsburgh, the dang tall man on the third floor kept showing up at my house. And I was like, even to the point where my ex-husband was like, you got to get rid of it. And he didn't believe in the paranormal. So I'm very cautious now to close everything. Like when I leave, when I get in the, on the interstate, when I get home, I'm just praying all the way.
Yeah, my wife won't believe myself. She was like, go have fun. Because we're out of the house.
Yeah. I always thank whatever and whoever is at the location we're at. Just, you know, thank you for the time we get to spend with you. No, I do not want you to come home with me, but I appreciate the time we had. The only time I would say I ever brought something home was from Waverly Hills Sanitarium. And it was the only place I've ever investigated that I have gotten sick at from going into certain rooms of the building. And I brought home something that it was some kind of black mass that I could see up in the corner of my room. And it was just there. Wasn't doing anything but hanging out. And after about a week of saying, you need to go back, it eventually did go away.
Yeah. Post-town, we stayed over. They had a room that had like four beds. I think. And I saw something. I woke up and it was up in the corner too. It looked like one of those little, what do you call those? Not troll, but imps.
Mm-hmm.
Up there. And I'm like, ah! And then I jumped. I stayed awake at that. And I didn't tell anybody about it on the way home because the girl who was sleeping under that. It was like I went to home and I got home and I called my friend and told him, like, why didn't you tell us? And I said, well, number one, the one kid had a son with him. You know, I didn't want him not want to go out and do it more because this thing could happen. And then maybe it was my mind seeing that, but I could have swore it was there. And so I, you know, still at the end, I could still see that there. Mm-hmm. And I saw some weird stuff happen that I'll get to later. Maybe a chance to talk about things in the house later. But what is your stance on using mediums or psychics? Do you guys ever think about one way or the other?
I mean,
Buffy, calm down.
We kind of have one of our own, and her name is Tabitha. I rely on her. So, Tabs, you answer that.
I'm all for it.
I can be right. I can be wrong. I don't know. I just put it out there. I'm like, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I sense. And that's it. Like, I feel like what I do or give out is part of the investigation. And I want it to be used with the other resources we have. It doesn't mean what I'm feeling is any evidence that we're getting. It just means that's what I'm feeling at that time. And I might be, you know, I think there's different levels to each location, and what I may be feeling may not be showing up to somebody else at that time, but it could later on. So I don't really come out and be like, I'm a medium. I just share what I see or what I hear or feel. So I'm pretty good at, like, I try not to give like any readings out until I just really know the person is just like really hounding me. Like, if you don't give this reading, this is going to happen. So, but I'm not the type of person that is like, okay, what I'd say is the end all of everything. You just go with it.
I mean, I trust Tabitha with all of my being. When she says that she feels something, she sees something, I tell her, absolutely not, but I believe her 100%. Like, I'm like, no, it's not. No, you don't see that. But I absolutely do. I've learned, you know, over the last, you know, year and a half with Tabs, you know, she's pretty spot on a lot of the times. We did a mansion. It was Two Rivers Mansion in Nashville, and she had seen a apparition of a lady in white, but she didn't tell me this. And then I had seen something out of the corner of my eye, and I was telling her about it, and she had me describe the lady, and I did, and we had seen the lady of the house, both of us. Mm-hmm. So it was, I trust in mediumships. Brandy, she's well known with four, 28 Days Haunted. I really believe a lot in what she has to do and say. I think if you can find a reputable one that you can trust, and, you know, they back things up with, you know, things come backed up or whatever. Yeah. I mean, use them if you can.
It would be one for Star Wars. Shit on so much. We told me a good place. This is happening here. She described the house and everything, and what it used to be, and she is spot on with most stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she is wonderful, but she got ill, I think, and had to back away from it. But yeah, I don't have any problem with it. I mean, I've had Do you know Patty Negri?
Yes. Yeah, I've heard of Patty Negri. Yeah.
Yeah. I had her on my show already. So,
she seems very, very honest.
She's a sweetheart. I like her. Mm-hmm. But during the show, we caught the orb flying around behind her. Because they're here all the time. Yeah. But I'm not gonna be believing rumors, to tell you the truth, really. But there were some that I have seen with my eye already too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, when I first saw her off, I wasn't sensitive to things, but over the years now, I can walk into a place. I think I'm more empath now than I was before. Because there's some place I'll go in and I'll start crying. So, and I had a one time that I had to take out of the building because of it. And found out there's a fire in there that happened one time. Mm. I'm like, well, you know what? I'm very susceptible to EMF. So I got it going on. So,
yep.
And my friend made this EM pump and he put it on the table. Hey, get out of here. Trying to get me sick. He was goofy. But we always have fun.
But yeah, I know that, I've known Tabitha for roughly half of my, over half of my lifetime, so 18 years.
I'm just 19 years old, so.
Yeah. Oh my God.
No.
So I know for a fact that if she says it's there, she truly feels it, so.
It's, I always love it. It's great. Barbie and I are so the opposite. Tabitha will look at Barbie and go, do you see those shadows? Or do you see that person over there? And Bobby, and Barbie, as a joke, it's the shut up. No, you don't. And she's like, no, you don't. It's the joking, like, I love it, but shut up, you know, kind of thing. Tabitha and I were at Buchanan Log Home this summer, and we were outside, and she says, do you see those shadows back over there in the field? And I went, I just grabbed her arm. I said, no, but let's go see them. I'm like, let's go.
And I'm like, no, let's not. I see them.
She's like, wait. And I'm like, no, let's, you say they're there. Let's go.
I'm the scaredest paranormal investigator you'll ever meet.
It's true.
It is true.
They carry like Scooby snacks for me as I go down the hallway.
We don't go on team. She gets frightened easily, and they're always picking on her. I didn't do as much as their guys did, but we're at that school, and in the cafeteria lunchroom, they had this tribal mask, and he went downstairs. He said, "Can I take a light down there?" She was down in the hall of Senior Mac. He was on all fours down the corner, right? Is she jump? Like, she had to fall and hurt herself. She has to knock that off.
I'm
she
that
was,
way.
Oh my God.
That's when you need to start like getting into workman's comp and all that. And it's
just a whole other thing you have to deal with. Yeah.
So yes, you guys do clients also, residential cases.
Yeah, we've done a few. You know, there's so many wonderful teams in the Middle Tennessee area. So a lot of people have a lot of great options to choose from when they're picking a team. So, you know, we did a few last year, and we hope to pick up a few more this year. But those are my favorite because you go in with very little information, right. You know, and there's no like preemptive thoughts that's already put in your head, and you know, you're not running on that. And it's, it kind of helps. I think those are my favorite. I don't know about y'all, but
yeah, I try to stay away from any, even in the bigger public stuff, I try to stay away from any kind of information that might be given. So I just want to go feel and see what's going on. For example, my first event with you guys was at Old Harriman Hospital, and I didn't know anything about the place. And it's funny because I picked up on a lot of the same stuff that y'all already knew was there. So, yeah.
I think I'm the same way. I'm getting to where I would prefer to not know anything about the location. Maybe pieces of the history, but even reading the history, it's real easy to get stuck on one era of time, as opposed to recalling that somebody lived on that land before that building was there, and other people have been in and out of that property since. So I really love going in kind of as an open book, just to see what's going to happen.
It helps with the validation.
Right. And another thing that you go in, like the school and other places that are more popular, more well-known, they'll say, do you want to know where the hot spots are? No.
We
because
went to
the, one. You tend to concentrate on those areas then, and I'm not about that. I can feel sometimes myself in certain things.
We went to one location, the Gaines House, and I was talking to the lady who works there, and I can't remember her name. I'm so sorry. And she had told me something that had happened that had just started happening at that location. And so I was in the house with Barbie, and Barbie stopped, and she's like, oh my gosh, this is what I saw. And I looked at her, I said, what? And she's like, I just saw this worm-like, wasn't it like a worm-like thing? thing that
it was very, very bright. It almost looked like, you know, when you're taking a sparkler and you just kind of do that, and it just leaves like the trail. That's exactly what it looked like for me.
And that was what she had told me had been happening at that location. And like only a few people had seen it, but Barbie never heard it. And I was like, oh my gosh, on the way home, I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot to tell you this. That has happened before. And that was kind of a great way to figure out that Barbie saw something, but she didn't know. I had learned about the hot spot, but she didn't know. And that just kind of confirmed it to me that it was happening.
Is it a worm?
It was snake-like, worm-like. It was just very, like, it left a trail. Whatever it was like taking a sparkler at the 4th of July.
Okay.
And it's writing your name, you know, in the darkness with the sparkler. Like, it, and it just leaves that trail. It was very fast, within, like, 2-3 seconds. And I had thought, well, maybe a car had drove by. There's no electricity in the place. So I was like, maybe a car, maybe a flashlight. None of that was going on. Everybody else was in the back near a cemetery, and it was just Tabs and I in the actual house. And I didn't hear April. April must have told Tabs that story, and I didn't know anything about it until I was like, well, that's weird. Yeah, it was fascinating. First time I ever saw something like that.
So you guys go into your client's houses. How do they handle situations where they're frightened or distressed from paranormal activity? I mean, how did you really calm down, explain to them, and just get them, you know?
I think it's how you go into it. If you go into a home and you're all gung-ho and you're all, you know, you take everything they say for a fact, and that investigation, you know, and you pump them up and you scare them yourselves. I think if you go in with very, because we had, Barbie and I worked on one where we went in, we figured it out. It was like only like a 2-hour investigation. And we had the information. When we left, we set her down. We were like, this is not hurting you. This is what this is. And she was like, oh, okay. She was panicking when we got there. But when she left, because we gave her the knowledge and we just made sure that she felt safe in her own home and she didn't want it to leave, I think that's one of the best things to do is how you handle yourself. Just explain to the person that, you know, their options and to make sure that they feel safe. What do you think, Barbie or somebody else?
Yeah, I think, you know, Tabitha is correct. When you walk in, you know, you want to take everything in, you want to hear all of their experiences and what's going on. But as we know, as paranormal investigators, a lot of their claims can be backed up with, you know, your EMF is too high, or, you know, it's really not casting a shadow when somebody's driving down and it hits a certain mirror a certain way, it's casting a shadow. And, you know, we try to debunk as much as we can, but absolutely go in with confidence and like, hey, everything's okay. You know, if this is a paranormal event, it could be a different kind, you know, different kinds of hauntings are happening. You know, we don't know what that is yet. And a lot of the times it's going to take more than just one investigation to get down to the bottom of everything. It's very, very few and far between where we go in and just do one investigation and figure it out. Yeah. It doesn't work like that, but we let them know that. And like, hey, most hauntings, these are family members or spirits who have a tie to the land or the building, and they're just checking on things. You know, have you renovated lately? You know, talk to them. You know, they're just in a different form. You know, they may have passed on, but they're still here checking on things. Just talk to them. They can hear you. They can understand you in those kind of hauntings, you know, the intelligent hauntings. But, you know, as we know, there are so many different kinds of hauntings and entities and spirits, and there's just a slew of them. So we try to be as layman's terms with our clients as we can be, and just be very confident and calming. That's the most thing, calming. It's not something you should be frightened of.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I back it up with the last in-home investigation I did, probably about a year ago. People would say that they felt negativity, anger, they felt sick when they were in their basement that they had reconstructed into a bedroom. And this is where I always say that I am the most anti-believer believer, because these ladies have only known me for a short while, but I will come at it from every direction to say, no, it's not something. Basically, within this confinement that they said they always feel bad and everything, we found elements of black mold within an air conditioning vent that you breathe that in for any kind of period of time,
yeah.
You're going to be all kinds of messed up. There's no telling what psychological effects that has. I don't know, or physical. And it's like, you got to take the paranormal side of it, because there could be something, but I'm one of those that get into a room and I'm like, okay, what else could there be that's causing this?
All right. That's true. Yeah, we debunk a lot. But there was a case we traveled about an hour ahead to. I got to come down. They always say, am I crazy? That's the one first thing they always say. But we get down to one, and they say, is this on every night or spread, because we hear this noise? And I'm like, all right. So we get there, and we're sitting there waiting for it, and we hear a noise. Like, what was that? You know, we got up here in the other room. Back in the, 50s and 60s, they had these up against the wall with water fuel radiators.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see those? Well, every once in a while, it release, and it gets, and there, that's what they heard. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, we have the holy fat.
No one should ever feel crazy, because there's always something that you feel the reason, or hear what you hear, see what you see. There's something there. It's just, you know, people like us try to help you figure out what side of the coin that it is.
Well, this is what this, and we do a whole investigation anyways, you know, because that's what they're doing, and we always say you can call us back or whatever. Because we got calls already from people who, if you come investigate our house, and we had a team come 6 months ago, and they never got back to us. And that's just kind of shitty to do, because we always were told within 2 or 3 weeks, we'd finally get back to them with evidence, and we get back to the place. You know, this is 2 hour drive, we'd do it over the Zoom or something, instead of doing that whole way. But if you were comfortable with us coming back down again, we would.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they're scared. They don't know what's going on. I mean, a lot of people don't believe in it. I know for a fact I believe in it. So I've seen it too much over the years. So.
And I've told them, and I've shared it before, I think it's not as crazy now as it was when I was growing up. My friends, in my 40s. So my friends would be like, I'm coming to your house because it's haunted. And I'd be like, okay, that's not thrilling to me. But if I would have told their parents, you know, they wouldn't let their kids come over, or they wouldn't, you know, or we were shunned, or, you know, by certain organizations, or by certain people thought we were crazy. And now I think with some of the shows that have come out, it's kind of made it easier for people to talk about it. And I think that has helped a lot. It also has helped people want their houses to be haunted. I've had some people, I'm like, no, that's a gas pipe. You know, that's not anything. And they're like, no, you're lying to me. And I'm like, no. But I think good has come out of it, to where people aren't as crazy. And the more people talk about it, the more people realize they're not alone.
I think it's always been a taboo topic, you know, especially when it comes around religion and stuff like that. People just don't, it's a very touchy subject for some people. So I'm just glad everybody's starting to open their eyes to it a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I have somebody popped in here, Blaine. I don't know if you have it or not. So good evening, Alex, for his life. But I just hopped in on YouTube feed. I liked and subscribed. First time here for over 40 years in remote viewing EVPs and near-death experiences, up and experience in paranormal research. That's cool. I was just the other day, I was thinking about doing my podcast. I have another podcast. paranormal passage that I started. I was going to do a remote viewing, so I'll get you on. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Blaine. All right, you guys there are feel scared the investigation are threatened. They point you to say, that's it, they got to go.
I've never, like, walked out, but I'm pretty sure all of us have had that experience where we're really scared.
I got a poor lady, too. I got poked in the back already. I'm like, no, don't be doing that.
Tabitha, 15, 16 years ago.
I don't remember.
So we were at a place. It was an office building in Nashville. And there was supposedly some malicious spirit in the HVAC room.
And I work in HVAC now. See, it's a circle.
And me being the young buck that I was, and this is the only time that I ever got confrontational because it was the last time I needed to be confrontational. They send me on in there, like, okay, you go in there and do what you do. I had a brick thrown at me.
Wow.
A little brick thrown across the room. And I said, okay, that's enough for me. I'm going to go right back out of here and mind my own business. I'm sorry. You do what you do. Good luck.
That's nuts. No, I don't know who's throwing at me. If that was at the school. It's not like a marble being thrown across the floor to have this, but you can buy one of those. But
for something to have that much energy to move that kind of rock, that kind of brick, that kind of object across a room, right. Yeah, no, I didn't need any part of that.
Right. I mean, I'd be out there too, as if I go with my walker.
And I like going with somebody. That way, like, even if it's just somebody on the same floor or something, so that way if I have an experience and I do get scared or, you know, that person can help calm down, just by a touch or something like that. And you're like, okay, I'm grounded. I have somebody with me and we're good to go. But are you pointing at? Oh, yeah, Barbie.
She's one to go down a hallway with.
Right.
All right.
But some of the experience that I had, I'm just like, you know, I've had so many that I have been scared, but I've always had somebody really good with me to pair up with to be able to bring me down and continue the investigation.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. I'm with you. I don't suggest going in places by yourself. I'll be going to different rooms by myself and sit for a while.
Right.
Well,
I've done solos.
Solos aren't bad.
Well, like if you're on a different floor and you have somebody close by, you know what I mean? To where if you are scared or you do get upset, somebody's able to get to you quickly or something. I just don't feel like to be left in a building alone by myself.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun at all. No. I mean, I've done it. Like in a couple weeks, we're going to be with our friends, Mid-10 Paranormal.
Oh, really?
And they're isolating me on the third floor. There's a spirit there by the name of Jeff, who this will be our third time there, but the first time we ever went, it was trying to isolate me, like intimidate me and get me up on the third floor. I'm like Vern, I'm a skeptic believer, you know? So, but I really was the first time I went there, I was scared of this Jeff, but, I guess it's time to confront that. So there are times where you have to confront things that scare you.
But Jeff, he was vicious. At one time we were there, he was like, you now upstairs, you know, calling your name. And then he, you know, like on the doing the Estes method when we were downstairs.
I did that.
I was like, I'll go with you upstairs. And it was like, no, alone. I was like, okay.
I'm saying, I mean, in 2 weeks when I go up there, if I get touched, I'm screaming bloody murder and Vern and Buffy and Tabs and everybody else is going to be on the second floor ready to save me because, I mean, I don't mess around when it comes with like dark things like that. Like dark things do scare me.
Yeah, you're screaming. We're not coming up there.
Yeah, I'm just going to, okay, click.
Buffy's our new leader.
Like great nice great for you to presume there.
get some good footage while you're up there. Thanks.
Yeah, turn off the walkie-talkie.
Tell Jeff not to break your camera.
Right.
But did anyone hear something?
Yeah, we'll give you words of wisdom from the second floor. You can party.
Yeah, you go, girl. You go, girl.
There's like a bird flying around in here somewhere. It's just kind of hiding.
We have bats already on locations too.
But Octagon Hall, Tabitha. I cannot remember if you were there or not. I had a bat fly into my hair. We were sitting on the back porch taking a break at about 1 or 2 in the morning, and a bat got in my hair and wouldn't get out of it. It's not a good experience.
I'm just picturing it's like a whole Steve Consolves moment from Ghost Hunters. You know, every
the
time
spiders.
You run into something,
yes.
spiders, anything.
We're at a jail in New Jersey. And down basement, I had tons of bats down there, but I don't think I hit in the back. Well, there was like a long over corridor from this part to the owner's house, which is like us all, of course, so it's a long hallway. He was flying in there, and I said, now a step, and I took a picture of that to come with me. I mean, I should call it mid to light in there. And she was all fine. That was funny. So, yeah, you kind of start. I'll just start now on your videos if you like. Some of your locations. I don't have them in any particular order, but I downloaded them off your YouTube, and I can tell you the names of them. So, if you want to. The first one is. See, it's Harris. Bill Harris something.
At the Harrison Funeral Home?
Mm-hmm.
Is that one?
Yeah, I see that one. I see ACRR, that's it. But I can play that one now if you like. You want to play it first or you want me to just play it?
Yeah, go play it and then we'll talk.
What was that?
Okay, so that was Harriman Hospital. That place, whew. I mean, all four of us were there. My goodness, so many great, oh my gosh, so much evidence. That's just one little piece of so much that we got there.
And that was good because we got it on audio and we got it on video. So
everybody
it really
heard
messed up that we all had heard.
That's
it.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, we had a couple I got too.
Mm-hmm.
That place was an ever revolving door of just something happening.
Yeah.
I feel like the next one is the Lost House.
The
Lost House? Okay.
Lost
House. This is the ball.
Sorry, Lost House. I forgot. Lost House. Okay. This one I liked. Awesome.
Yeah, and that ball had been sitting there tabs for how long?
Oh, for the whole investigation. I mean, it was like an hour or more because it was
late.
Yeah,
like 2.5 hours, I want to say. And that ball did not move. And we've been
ball,
up and down.
I had bought that one that night at Dollar General, and it's
a heavy ball.
It's a heavy ball. It has water in it and like a little cap ball in it with glitter. Mm. So it wasn't moving. It wasn't the air. But right before that, I saw a female go up the steps, like her skirt swooshed. And I told Barbie, she's like, shut up. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then like a few minutes later, that's when that happened. But that ball is not easy to move. You're
it
not just,
not.
Even if you touched it, you're not.
Yeah, it's not lightweight at all.
Mm-mm.
All right.
That was awesome because it just happened and it was right on camera. And you can kind of see it rolling. Like
yeah.
You can see it starting to be pushed and then it went
yeah,
on over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I'll go and show you this bird town. It's the ball of chair. I mentioned it earlier, I'll say it real quick. But bird town, I'm from elementary school in Ohio. And I went there for investigation. And my friend, I get around the walker, but my mm-hmm. old friend took me around in a wheelchair. It's like one of the old ones, the bucket seats. And in the auditorium, gymnasium, they have basketballs. And, like, most of them are, like, flat. They're not really bounced. You can't really bounce them. They bump that and done. And so the guys put the basketball on the chair at the end of the gymnasium. And they already had the other camera set up rolling. And me and one other investigator down in what we call base camp. And they came down and said, you guys upstairs? Yeah, well, there's a ball out in the middle of the gymnasium that was not a chair at the end. And then it was like, you lying, you know, and we were down here all the time. So the rescuer went up and got the tape, and we caught that ball flying off that chair rolling across the floor.
Mm.
So I'll play it for you here, and I get goosebumps every time I see it.
I was going to say it's a blue screen, yeah.
That was good.
Oh, God, I'm thinking, I think we're still listening to it.
That's a heavy ball.
Yeah. Dump roll all wrong.
Yeah, I had a ball experience at a bed and breakfast in Fort Knox, Kentucky, I think. Is that where it's? Yeah. It was called the Doe Run Inn, and it was this old mill, and we were on the top floor, and there's a room at the end of the hallway. And mind you, the incline is like this. I am sitting here. The doorway is here. So incline of the hallway is almost impossible for something to roll up. Ball sitting in the room on camera. I'm sitting in the hallway. Ball comes into the hallway and rolls up to me. I roll it back into the hallway or back into the bedroom. It settles. We talk to it. Comes back up the incline again. And then on the opposite side of the hallway. Yeah. The ball experience can be fun.
Mm-hmm. That's weird. You guys are here for a gravitational hill that where your car sits.
Uh-huh.
It goes mm-hmm. up by itself. Yeah, I heard that's pretty cool. I never got through that. But... And you're supposed to put flour on the back bumper.
Yeah,
right.
Gotta get the handprints.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah, we have handprints and mirrors already at church.
Mm.
Little kids' handprints.
Mm-hmm.
But. The obstacle. So let me see what they got next year. That's good stuff here. That's gotta get up to the highest all the time. I take it as far as you can. I guess it's out of there all the time. Here, this is a ghost caught on thermal.
Yep.
This is another Harriman Hospital.
Okay, cool. I have a good roll here. There we go.
Vernon gives a really good description of that because he's like me. I always take it in and I enhance it and everything, but he did the same thing. And
I'm actually looking for the photo where I did enhance it. Yeah. So basically you take that and you see the picture that it was not in thermal. I took that picture and brightened it up so much that you could see the other side of the hall. Like you could see the down the hallway and there were a couple set of doors on the other side there. No reflective surfaces. There was nobody walking anywhere around that area, so no like residual heat or cooling, nothing like that. That was an amazing shot that we got with that thermal. You can't recreate it, and there was nothing physically there.
Besides thermal, what other equipment do you guys use?
Buffy, what equipment do you use for your thermal?
It's a FLIR point and shoot that I have. Yeah. And the same is like when we grabbed that, or when that was grabbed, I did the same thing, because whenever I get my thermals, it was a lot of learning training on how to read the thermals and your fluctuations of temperature from sometimes even just one shot to the next, it'll recalibrate and everything changes. Right. And that picture, that photo was what Barbie on that, when I did my photo dump of those, that was the first picture or the second picture on the whole camera.
The first three.
We just had a feeling about that haul. And I didn't run back through. I just I grabbed pictures, and then we were going on getting everything going. Mm-hmm. And when I downloaded, or when I uploaded, I mean, over to my laptop, all of my pictures, the thumbnail even, I was like, the shape was so definite. And I did just like Barb and Vernon. I brightened, zoomed everything I could. And then I'm like sending it over going, you've got to see this right now. Like right now.
Right.
And I was like, buying that camera just paid off.
Right.
Yeah, because I mean, we take thermals everywhere, every investigation. And this is the first time in over a year of having that she's had that camera when we caught anything.
What do you guys use? I use GIMP. Do you guys use GIMP?
I know what it is, but I mean, I usually just put it through like Photoshop or something and do little filters and things like that. Yeah.
GIMP is basically Photoshop, but it's free. So,
mm-hmm. I've used GIMP. It's a good one. Yeah. It's a good one for that.
It's just updated again, too. So that's pretty cool. And for the audio of your EVPs, I use that Audacity.
I also use Audacity.
I love Audacity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been for 20 years now.
I used it since I worked at the radio station when I was in high school.
Yeah.
It's a great program, and it's free, and you can highlight things, and you can enhance them, and I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like the feature to remove noise. It's so easy to do. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll just give it a raw clip, but then do one that's, you know, enhanced or whatever. Don't read noise. So. But I got like 8 gigs, 8 terabytes today. Pull up AVPs and stuff over the years. Got tons of stuff. I just turned 56, so that's how one hand.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are youngins. Yeah.
Look, but Barbie, I can't hear you.
I'm like, yeah, I'm not that far, but what, I'm 47, so.
Look, Barbie, you can't. Look, she's mic'd up.
It's all mic'd up.
I'm saying I'm 21. Yeah. I don't know about these old people, but I'm only 21.
Yeah, I'm like 19.
Yeah.
No, I think we're all like in our 40s or close to it. So
yeah. Vern's like, no, I'm not.
I said we're close to it.
I'll be in my 30s forever.
Yeah. Okay. I have wanted to ask you, Ghost was just caught.
This was Buchanan Log House Mecca for EVP.
Oh yeah, I love his faces. I can't see my mom when I was a kid.
Hey, girl. Is this Miss Lucinda?
Are you looking at the stuff that I'm looking at? That I'm looking at.
Wow.
There's a big Whistler there.
Yeah.
Is it not? Yeah, at that location.
Yeah, so the Whistler, we feel, is James Buchanan. He's the man of the house. And Miss Lucinda, she's the lady of the house. And they had 16 kids. And
tons of grandkids.
She was
busy.
They were busy. And the house only had, it was like the main cabin. And then later, in a few years later, they built upstairs. And so this whole family was shared a two-bedroom log home. But I mean, we have so much more to do at Buchanan. So we'll be
apparently there. So did the Buchanans.
The Buchanans have a lot to do. So yeah, we're gonna continue our work there this year.
They're probably still going in the afterlife.
Maybe that's what we caught. I mean, we
no, that was Miss Buchanan saying, "Please help me. I'm trying to be in the breeding cell.
Like, get this man off me."
Yes.
Jesus. Get the burly man off me already. Jesus. Actually, my mom's side, they had 13 kids. So, because there were much of these back in the Depression era.
Mm-hmm.
And guess from the New Cosmo Reception, just bang your head against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something else. Wow. Okay. I have the ghost caught on video. It looks like a cabin or something.
That's the Buchanan Log House. Also.
Okay, log house. Okay, wow. Cool. Just good on that. Wow.
That one
just, that's so easy to see. Some people put their hours and stuff on, and you don't need anything for that. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, going through hours and hours of DVR, you know, and then, you know, you catch yourself about to fall asleep, and then all of a sudden you see it, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, it just kind of wakes you up, and I had to share it immediately with the team. I was like, look what we caught. I mean, there's no other explanation for that. I mean, nothing. I just, that's another great capture. I'm really proud of that one for us.
To the point, we drove back out there and went and looked at that area to see if there was anything it could have been to obstruct or maybe have moved just right. We were pulling up Google Maps, zooming down. It was, yeah, that was a good one.
I mean, we're always trying to debunk, always.
Well, you got people who don't know play event. That's why it's good to have somebody with you and it happens also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we had a lot like that. That we had two people see it or.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So. Wow, that was some good stuff, guys. And,
Thank you. I'll
try to get back on it again once you get some more places and get out. And it's so cold right now to go out. I'm on a high. It's 3 degrees today when I woke up.
Right.
It's 10 now.
Yeah, it's a heat wave. Today it got up to 20 something. I was like, where I'm at, and I was like, oh, let's go shorts and flip flops on.
It's balmy now.
Right. So hot.
Oh, God. They're amazing.
Right.
It's hard to keep this house warm. We've got space heaters on everywhere. It's crazy.
I'm in a little apartment. We moved to. I sleep on one floor. It's like 900 square feet. So you got such short. It's probably 15 minutes warm. So. Oh.
Well, nice. See, we always want to get rid of Barbie. Now we're good.
I know. We lost her. Where'd she go?
Well, we're going to take over now.
This is what happens when you're live.
We'll be at work, right. Barbie. Jeez. My God. She wants to think this.
Bubby was trying to start like a revolution and not get you back on the team.
Yeah, it was a coup. It was a whole coup, and you're back.
Oh. Yeah, they work. Oh my, you guys are fun. Have you guys one night? So, like I said, I'll get you echoed again. I think we're past our hours. You guys want to wrap it up?
We would love to come back on.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. But that'll kind of put it back on again. Because,
Well, thank you so much.
Happens. Yeah, you bet. It's a pleasure to have you guys on.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Sure thing. And I will, this will be available on Spotify, it'll be on, well, of course, YouTube, it'll be on Amazon, what else will it be on? Oh, if you want to, you can just do on, I'm not going to say her name, Alexa.
Worldwide, look at us.
Yeah. Y'all can ask for autographs.
We have to call that particular device the other woman in the room at our house because it's easier to count the room how many rooms don't have one in it than do. If I said that word right now, there I know of three that would go off quickly.
Mm-hmm. Right, I know that.
And she's always listening.
She is always listening. She had actually started talking, and I'm like, what? She was telling me the publisher of China or something. What the publisher of China? Really? The publisher of China is what the hell?
My husband said something two nights ago that triggered one of them, and it suddenly started playing Ice Ice Baby. I have no idea what he said that she deciphered it into that, but that's what we ended up with.
Me and the Apple lady, you know, the one that starts with S, at work all the time, me and her argue back and forth. She's like, I can't help you with that. I was like, I never asked you to. Leave me alone. Quit being nosy. And she'll just keep giving her comments. I'm like.
All right. I see her name and say, well, I'm talking to you.
Right.
She's sorry or something time too. I'm like, oops. Now she apologized. It's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a portal. Based off portal. Mm-hmm. And it has her on it.
Okay.
All right. Well,
we had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I think it's a pleasure with you guys on. And I had a lot of fun, too. I love having Phil Bruce on. So, I guess we'll sign off. We got one more comment here.
Okay.
More comment. Guess we can answer more questions. Just hopped up. Tip visual haunting investigations using various controls to remove out false negatives of what you're witnessing.
Yeah, we do, don't we? Like, when we go to the investigations, we try to pull out anything that's caused a false positive. Mm-hmm. Buffy, I know that you have the different equipments that help that, and that we're working on some stuff, too, aren't we? To where we can...
Yeah, we've got various, tools and
data
collection things that we kind of go through, and
Actually, yeah, too. We have those data collector and data things. That's kind of cool. Well, thanks for the question, Blaine. And I'm going to sign off here, guys. And until next time, happy haunting, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much.
Take care, guys.